This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like you all, first of all, to welcome Mother Kimberly, who has joined us. And we are so fortunate to have her join us, and she's going to be great help, and she will be a big part of this church. We're so thrilled, and she's getting to know people and know all of our idiosyncrasies, and she's been very generous and wonderful, and so I can't wait to get to know her better and to enjoy this ministry together. Now, this is one of those Sundays that I don't know which to pick. I mean, I got to tell you, the gospel is rich and full, and I could talk about the three times that Peter denied Christ when he's, I don't know who he is, but now he's going to say, I love you, Lord, and the love in the Greek is about brotherly love, and then it moves to spiritual love, but I'm not going to talk about any of that, okay? That's a huge part, isn't it? That's a huge reading today, and the fact that it's 153, isn't that interesting? You know exactly how many fish they caught. I have to say, though, I wanted to talk to you about St. Paul, because St. Paul is one of my favorite people, and the reason why I like St. Paul is there's a lot of reasons why I like St. Paul, but first of all, and you might say, well, that's not a big deal. Doesn't everybody like St. Paul? No, a lot of people don't like St. Paul, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. So basically, from the book of Acts, we learn that Saul was really not a nice person. He was participating in the murder of the first martyr, Stephen. And so people were afraid of him. He was highly educated. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was taught by one of the most premier rabbis that ever lived. And he was going after those Christians, and he wanted them dead, right? And then, just as we see in the reading today, God has a surprise for all of us, doesn't God? Just when you think you know it all, you get slammed down on your way to Damascus. And you notice that he had lost his sight and he didn't know what he was for 3 days. Very much important because of the whole 3-day imagery. But he comes back and he's like, I think he's probably very embarrassed, don't you? And then poor Ananias has to say, okay, God, you want me to go do what? This guy hates us. He hates us. How can you want me to go help him and heal him? But Ananias is a good guy, and he does whatever God tells him, which is something we all need to learn, right? But it was interesting because I was doing a paper on St. Paul asking the women to wear veils in church. And after I finished, my thesis is this. St. Paul is a part of his time period, right? We all live in a context. Is that right? You all live in a context. I can't imagine the first part of my life living with computers. I remember as a teacher when we brought them in. But just think about the 2-year-olds, the 1-year-olds, the 6-month-olds. They already know how to fix the TV, right? Okay, so that's their context. For me, I have that context that I can do that. And for St. Paul, some of the things he says about women, I think, are purely about the culture of the time, not so much about St. Paul. That's what I think. And I don't blame him, but I was giving this paper, and I was saying how much I love St. Paul. And this woman said to me, well, you can say that because your church respects women, and you have a leadership position, and And I said to her, just, you know, cut St. Paul some slack here. Because what I believe he was doing, and the professor, who was a nun that had like 16 PhDs, she said to me, you got it right, because I agree with that. The professor said, you know, the same thing. Here we have somebody who's trying to bring Christianity to a culture. And that culture is very different from our culture now. Does everybody agree with that? Certainly. So he was trying to not make waves in areas he didn't have to. And so that, to me, is really important to recognize the difference between the time that he lived. And then every once in a while, he'll say something so universal and so important to me. Like when he says in the book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor there is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Period. He says that. And that's very important to me that he says that. And when I was teaching, I always said to my kids, you want to hear what St. Paul says about death? And they would go, oh God, here she goes again. But it's very important that he talks in 1 Corinthians about the whole resurrection of the body. We are going to live forever. Did you ever think about that? Should it make difference in your choices? Absolutely. You're making choices for eternity. And he's saying that we live forever. And I don't know about you all, but I know I feel different than just this body. I know I'm more than this body. Even now that it's beginning to fall apart, but we won't go there. And the same way that Christ was raised from the dead, Paul says, whoever follow Christ will also be raised from the dead. He gives us great comfort. In fact, I think one of the next movies I want to show is, and by the way, we had a great turnout for that. That was wonderful. There's a great movie called Paul, Apostle of Christ, that talks about Paul in prison and when he writes the book of Acts with Luke. So maybe we'll show that sometime because it's very interesting to look at that time period. But what Paul says is this. We won't be resurrected in our physical bodies. Instead, our souls will be saved for eternity. Do you agree with that? I hope so. Paul says how we will begin to live once we finally die is interesting. And that's what the Pope said. That's what Pope Francis said. He said, I can't wait to die because then I will truly live. Think about that. And it was funny because some of the reporters I was particularly listening to, Anderson Cooper, was like, he kept going back to that. He kept, gosh, this guy really believes that death is a beginning. He really believes this. Well, yeah, everybody in here better believe that. We better believe that we live for eternity and that our death is our birth. And he believes that we have to integrate this belief into our lives and know that devotion to God will not be in vain. The other thing that Paul says is we have to live according to God's law, not the 613 of Moses, but the one of Jesus. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the ones that are so important. So remember, Paul is saying death is a beginning and not an end. And then, do I need to read to you the hymn to love? No, I don't, because every time I do a wedding, every time I do most funerals, they want what? Love is patient. Love is never arrogant or rude. Love is humble, right? And it's never irritable or resentful. Anybody in here fail at that? I sure do. And, you know, it's interesting because I think we need to have that right in front of us all the time because he beautifully explains to us what love is and how we fall short and how we fall short. And we have to treat each other with respect and dignity, and the outcome of that will be to receive love and to give love. How we love our children. We know that sometimes our children make decisions that we really, we're watching it and we're saying, oh no, bad choice. But we love them anyway, don't we? We better, because that's what we're told to do. There's a book that I really like and a movie too. It's called Wild, and it's by Cheryl Strayed. She had a terrible life. Her mother died of breast cancer when she was young, and she had a terrible situation with some other things. But she's walking the Pacific Crest Trail, and she's trying to move from woundedness to wisdom. And this is what she says out of all of her journey and her learning. To love and to be loved, that is the meaning of life. Do you agree? I hope so. He talks a lot about diversity and how important it is to be a community that's like a body. And we can't have one person that's an eye or one person that's a leg. We have to work together, and the eye does something unique in our bodies that our legs don't do, and vice versa, and how important it is. His wisdom is that everybody has different gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, right? He talks about that. There are teachers, there are preachers, there are all these different kinds, and we see that. We can collaborate in harmony. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a great thing if we could collaborate in harmony and really recognize other people's strengths and our weaknesses and work with them? I am so happy. Guess what Mother Kimberly has? She is a CPA and an MBA. And guess what Mother Mary Ellen doesn't give two rats' asses about? Sorry, I don't. I do what I have to do with finances. I probably shouldn't have said that in church. But anyway, I have to say, I do what I do if I need to with finances, but it's not my joy. I think you all know what my joy is. I think you've seen it. So we have to find our joy. I'm so glad you love numbers. I love words. Words are my thing. Hers are numbers. Aren't we a good pair? Absolutely. The other thing he talks about, let's see if anybody knows this word, and if you were here last night, Erica, you can't say it. Kenosis. Who knows what kenosis means? It's Greek. It's what St. Paul says in the Philippians about Jesus empties himself. He empties himself. That's what it means. It means that if we want to let God in, we have to empty ourselves. And what are we emptying ourselves of? Ego, resentment, anger. All of those things have to go. Jesus emptied himself in front of God. He did not consider himself equal. He empties himself. He's completely humble. And that's so important for us to take on that same thing. Jesus is the personification of selflessness and humility. And we have to open ourselves to take in more God. And that means we often have to put our needs aside and look at the needs of other people. How do we help each other? How do we recognize the gifts that we have and how we have to share them? And he's big on community. Paul in Hebrews, I know they argue about who wrote Hebrews, whether Paul did or his assistant, and there's some things in Hebrews that people don't like. But here's the thing, I think Paul had a part in Hebrews. And he says that community is essential, and we have to speak the truth in love. Isn't that the best thing that he says? I love that. Speak the truth in love. That's what we're to do. And he says we have to meet regularly to worship. We have to support each other in spiritual growth, and we have to live out our faith on a daily basis. We have to collaborate, and that's how we get through hardship. That's how we get through difficulty. So I think for St. Paul, the main thing for a Christian is to be humble, to love, to be faithful, and brave. When are we brave? That's what the question is. How can we be braver? Because life is not for the faint of heart, is it? We have to face some big struggles. According to Cheryl Strayed, I'd like to end with a quote from her new book called Brave Enough. When you recognize that you will thrive not in spite of your losses and sorrows, but because of them, that you would not have chosen the things that have happened in your life, but you're grateful for them, that you will hold the empty bowls eternally in your hands, but you also have the capacity to fill them. Amen.